joined on the line now by Joshua Cloak. He's the Maple Leafs and TFC writer for The Athletic. Joshua, good to talk to you. How are things on this Monday night?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. How are you?
No, very good, thanks. So let's get to a couple of the hot Maple Leaf topics. And, of course, Mike Babcock has answered this for the last week, and I'll ask you the same question. What's the latest with Austin Matthews, and should we expect him in the lineup when the Leafs drop the puck with the Devils on Thursday?
So, yeah, I was down at Leafs practice today, and apparently he skated on his own in the morning, and he's expected to skate tomorrow as well. The Leafs aren't practicing tomorrow, so it'll probably just obviously be a skate on his own. I think you'd have to wait until Wednesday to get a gauge as to whether he'll be ready for Thursday. One thing about today's practice, it was a bit longer than normal. There was a lot of heavy skating. It was a very spirited practice. So I think he's still going to try and ease him into it. Perhaps if he is ready, I would suspect that, you know, Babcock wouldn't kind of bend his practice plan to suit Matthews. So it seems like with these few days off, he's really going to, you know, practice pretty hard. So I think we'll have to wait until Wednesday. But you know what? No rush right now. I think I've heard it might be his back. I don't know for sure. I've just heard that. And if that's the case, that could be a really serious injury. So let's not rush him back if you don't need it, because they're winning right now, right?
Yeah, you speak of the winning, and at this time a week ago, they got that win over the Knights to snap the week stretch of 5 losses in 6 games, and since then they've won 4 in a row. Have you noticed them playing noticeably better, or is it just as simple as they've gotten better goaltending and just been able to weather being outshot because Anderson and McElhinney have been so good?
I think you're seeing players that maybe had a rough start step up. Everybody's talking about Mitch Marner, and rightfully so. He's looked like that Mitch Marner that for a while there last season was your Calder Trophy, you know, nominee for the Leafs. He's just kept the puck on his stick, and I've said it before, he makes those passes that you know, you stop and you're waiting, you see 1, 2, 3 passing possibilities, and then it's that fourth play that really blows your mind. So he's become a lot more comfortable with the puck this season. So, McElhinney and Anderson are playing well, but I think you're seeing other players really, really step up. And that's good, because the Leafs were really fortunate last season to have barely any injuries. They Matthews played all 82 games. And you have to expect that injuries are going to come at some point. So this has been a good test for them. Players like Connor Brown are just having a remarkable season. I like the look of Komarov and Kadri lately as well. So, you know, you're starting to see those top three lines play really, really well. And again, if you're Mike Babcock, it's got to be promising, because there was a stretch in and around the 10-game mark where Matthews was just carrying this team. And, you know, that was really evident on that Western road trip. So obviously you want a player like Matthews back. He's a top 10, maybe top 5 player in the league right now. So you want him back, but to see the way the team has adapted, it's got to be reassuring for him.
Joshua Cloak joins us on Sportsnet tonight. He's a Maple Leafs and TFC writer for The Athletic here on a Monday evening. James Van Riemsdyk continues to, I'm not going to say impress, but he continues to be that guy that, and maybe the only guy on the Maple Leafs that could sit in front of the net and deflect, tip in, jump on rebounds. I don't think they have a comparable guy to that. So it always leads to the conversation of, can the Maple Leafs keep a James Van Riemsdyk happy with a contract extension before he goes to free agency after this season? Does it make sense for this team to do it? Because in my opinion, Josh, it's almost like at one point last year, I looked at him as a trade chip. This year and moving forward as secondary scoring and sometimes primary scoring on this team, I don't know if they can afford to lose him.
I don't think they can either. I mean, you're probably going to lose Tyler Bozak. And, you know, even though I was just kind of pumping his tires, you might lose Leo Komarov as well. You're going to have to put 9 quality forwards up on your first 3 lines to start next season. And the thing with JVR, he's looked really, really consistent. His numbers, you know, his kind of underlying numbers this season haven't been great. And you could argue that there were points where Marner was kind of carrying that line with him and Bozak last season. But like you said, he's a player that offers that net front presence that no other Leaf really has. And you want players to fill specific roles. You're not going to expect a player like Zach Hyman to do that kind of work in front of the net. He's the guy that does that work in the corners. And so you want to have players filling these very specific roles. I think a lot of it in terms of next season, a lot of it will, you know, the result is going to be what happens this season. If the Leafs have a really strong playoff run, and if you're a player like JVR, who's not old, but getting up there, and he says, well, when am I going to have a chance for a cup? If he looks at this team and how they perform in the playoffs and say, you know what, it might happen in the next 2 years, maybe I'll take a little bit of a discount. That could happen. We know Lou Lamoriello was a really, really tough bargainer. So if he, and you know, by all accounts, he likes playing here. You know, how could you not? So I wouldn't be surprised to see him back on a pretty reasonable deal if the Leafs can you know, hold up their end of the bargain and prove that they could be cup contenders in the next few years.
We were talking about his line mate. His line mate, Mitch Marner, earlier, because they're back together. They've just, he's juggled the line so many times.
It's been a blender.
Yeah, no, I'm losing track a little bit. And obviously it's been great to see he's got 4 points in his last two games, finally scored his first goal since opening night. And honestly, I think it was in February last year against Columbus. He was on a great pace. He was on pace for 50 assists and he got hurt. I can't remember exactly what, maybe it was his shoulder. And ever since then, I think he has only scored 5 or 6 goals since then. Do you think that injury, like either physically or maybe psychologically, had more of an effect on Marner and maybe led to the struggles that he had at the end of last year and even bleeding into this year a little bit?
It could be. I mean, I think it was obvious after that injury that he wasn't playing that kind of loose, freewheeling style. But I think, you know, the other thing that happened is teams figured out how to defend a little better against him. And they knew that, you know, at the end of last season and at the beginning of this season, they knew he wasn't going to take the shot because he wasn't. And that was something that was, you know, he had said in training camp that he was going to try and do is shoot more, but he wasn't up until a few games ago. He really wasn't. And when he was really forcing the shot. So I think what you're seeing now is a player who's just trying to diversify their attack a little bit and just utilize the different weapons that he has. He might not have the kind of shot that, you know, a Nylander or a Matthews has, but when you can keep defensemen on their toes by, you know, not relying on your pass right away, I think that's what you have to be doing. I don't know if how much that injury has affected him. He hasn't really talked about it since, so it'd be silly to speculate, but I think the more and more that he gets comfortable using his shot and picking his spots better, I think you're going to see an uptick in his production.
Joshua, before we say goodbye, I have to ask you, we're about 8 days away from that first game of the TFC Columbus Crew, I guess, home and home series. TFC being shorthanded in that first game, how does that actually affect them on the road in Columbus? And can you see them at least getting out of Columbus with at least a draw when they come back to Toronto for that weekend game?
You know, I don't know if TFC has played for a draw all season. They've played this really intense attacking soccer. And so I don't know if it's in their DNA, but I think you have to go in there and play really, really cautious, at least to start, because that Columbus team, you know, they're going to be playing, you know, quite possibly the last game in that stadium this season. We know that the team is being threatened to go to Austin. We know that this is a team that has, you know, had a really, really tough hill to climb to get here. So you're going to see a lot of emotion, a lot of energy from that Crew team to start. And I think you're going to see them press TFC really, really hard. So I don't want to say park the bus, but you're going to have to put more players behind the ball right away to kind of deflate that attack early on. And you're going to have to spend some time to allow Victor Vasquez to get a good look at the pitch and get a good look at, you know, who he's up against so he can maybe find Victor Vasquez. So I predict a very, very cagey affair early on. And if you can get out of there with a 1-1 draw and get that away goal, I think you're putting yourself in a really, really good position for the home leg. But yeah, I'm not predicting a TFC win in that first leg. Just without those two, it's just I really don't know who the goals are going to come from. And that's no dig on to St. Ricketts. He's going to be relied upon, but I just don't know if you can get more than two without Seba and Altidore, right?
Do you think, we haven't heard anything definitive on the Altidore appeal or what investigation on what happened there in the tunnel, but assuming he misses the game, you were talking about Vasquez, who I feel like has been more of a, like he does a bit of everything, but he's a lot of assists, a big time playmaker. Do you think we could see him jump more into the rush, into the play to try and generate that ever elusive road goal for TFC?
Yeah, I could see them maybe playing a bit of like a 3-5-1-1 and have him playing right behind Ricketts. The thing is, with Ricketts has the speed that Altidore and Seba don't have. So he's going to be able to find that space, between the lines and between the defenders. So it's not expected that Vasquez is going to have to run up with him. Vasquez weights his passes so perfectly. So I think he'll be able to find, through balls to Ricketts. Perhaps they'll just be a little longer than the balls he plays to Seba and Josie. So they don't really have any real great attacking options besides Ricketts. But let's not forget, you have, a player in Justin Morrow who just finished second in MLS voting for Defender of the Year, and he finished tied for third in goals. So third in goals on TFC. So there's scoring options there to have a defender be tied third on your team for goals. So there are options there. I just expect them to play the ball out a little bit wide more and just wait. And you're going to see less of those kind of quick passes and more of the long through balls that might take time to kind of develop. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Josh, we look forward to that. That's still about a week away, but you know what? We had to talk to you about it because I know you write for The Athletic for TFC as well. Thanks for talking Leafs with us off the top, and we will talk again.
Yeah, anytime, Bryce.